Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Oz. No ear tickling here, just what we need to prepare for the battle.
¡Miren! ¡Miren! ¡Allá! ¡Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Everybody. Welcome to Preparing for Battle with Roz. She's going to interview Daryl Mosley, and he's going to have a guest also who runs a prison ministry. So it's going to be quite a show tonight. And here's Roz.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another show of Preparing for Battle. I'm your host, Roz, and my co-host is Dorothy. I know a lot of you have been getting familiar with her. She's a wonderful gal and a very good friend to me. Tonight, like she said, our guest is Daryl Mosley from New Beginnings Church. He's out of Louisiana, and his guest will be Shane DeVille. He has a prison ministry in Houston, Texas. So I look forward to this show, and we're going to have some really good conversation. There's some really hot topics, a lot of questions, and hopefully we will be able to answer questions that maybe some of you have been wondering out there. So, are we good to go, or?
No, they haven't called in yet, so.
Okay.
We'll have to keep the people entertained with fluff talk. How's that? Shall we fluff talk?
Sure.
I did want to tell everybody, like we were discussing before, that if y'all are as upset as I am, and I think Roz is too, about America turning its back on Israel, you can contact Bibi Netanyahu on Facebook. So just put his name in the search box, and he comes up. And he does post every once in a while, at least about once a week, and he posts in both Hebrew and English. And it's kind of cool seeing what he's thinking.
Oh, most definitely. I think that's great, a great opportunity that we have to be able to communicate with him, especially on Facebook.
Yeah, I'd like to tell him that there are a lot of Christians here who are also American citizens who are praying for him and are very upset about the decisions of our wonderful, illustrious government.
The show started already. Yeah, 7 my time. Thank you.
So, okay. Does Connor want a snack or something?
Actually, I was just on the phone with Daryl.
Oh.
He's calling in.
Okay.
A little time mishap. It happens, you know, when, you know, you're talking to somebody from a different time zone, and it's kind of confusing sometimes.
Yes, I do that to Larry all the time because he's in a different time zone.
Yeah, no, I you know, always the guest is at all times, you know, calls when it's convenient for them. I never demand a time for them to call in, but sometimes they get a little confused on their time, but that's okay. He'll be calling in here in just a few minutes.
Okay. I've got the switchboard up. I'm looking.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to talk about before the show started, too, was I had gotten an email this week. There were, I want to say, 4 girls that were abducted from a university in Baja, California. 2 of them were found dead, and I'm not exactly sure. I haven't got any recent updates or seen anything on if the other two gals have been found or if, you know, if they had, you know, found out any more information about their whereabouts. But, you know, this is getting real, real, real heavy and just, I mean, it's really sick how this is just getting out of control. There's nobody watching the borders. There's, you know, nobody, you know, being just keeping our country safe. And, you know, we really, this is a point where we really need to pray and get on our knees and really talk and communicate with Father because, I mean, we're headed into some really nasty times. And even now, I mean, they're kidnapping, you know, little girls, any ages between the age of 8 and 28. You know, there's Christian boys, you know, Darnett was on our show earlier this week, and she was talking about Christian boys and girls over in Pakistan, you know, young children who are Christians that are being beheaded. And, you know, I mean, this is just, it's really getting there. And for those people too, who don't think that this won't take place here, I mean, you got another thing coming. It's definitely coming here. So, you know, we need to really pray about the election that's coming up. You know, who we choose, you know, if it's the lesser of the two evils, you know, whatever. But we really need to pray and seek Him and make sure that, you know, we know what we're doing, what we're dealing with here, because this is, I mean, I've been feeling it in my spirit. It's just going to start getting real nasty. And, you know, I was reading Glenda Lomax this morning. I get them, you know, every morning or whenever she puts them out. And, you know, we really need to be serious and really be prepared for when it's time for all this to happen. And there are a lot of people that aren't prepared and pray, you know, as much as they should and talk to Father and can constantly have an open communication with Him and be real close to Him. Psalm 91 just keeps coming to my head. It's just keep praying and seeking Him and just get back to Him because soon it's going to be too late and the enemy is out to seek, kill, and destroy and he will kill without any remorse. The spirits are doing it now. The spirits that these people are driven by, they don't care and it's just sick. And the other day, I was watching the DNC on television, and, you know, I'm just really blown away about how many women who feel that they have, you know, the right over their own bodies to have an abortion and to you know, just discard of their babies and want that right, and it just blows my mind how many women are all backing that, and it's not our choice. These beautiful lives that are growing inside of us, you know, they're precious and they're a gift from Father, and you know, He gives them to us to take care of, and we're just slaughtering left and right. Just blood is everywhere, and you know, we really need to start standing up. I mean, where are the voices here? You know, this is the kind of stuff that regular TV doesn't want to talk about. They don't want to touch on it because, you know, they'll get in trouble. I mean, it just comes a point in time where you can't worry about what people think. You got to stand up and get out there. This is wrong. Absolutely wrong. I mean, my son is my son, but all the children are our sons and daughters. We have to protect them no matter who they are. And you know, we can't stand for this anymore. We gotta
stay on our knees and pray for them as
yeah.
well as the women, because they've also shown that the abortion has very strong ramifications in a woman's psyche, because she knows deep inside what she's doing, and it does affect
right.
her. And I do
right.
believe we have Daryl on. That's a 318 area code.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi.
Ah, Daryl Mosley.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
Hi, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, not too bad. Just got very through good. Spraying and praying.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear Daryl, I gotta laugh.
Yeah, I'm a big old clown.
Yeah, you are. So, what's been going on with you since the last time I saw you? You know, there's a lot of things happening. I see your posts on Facebook. You know, just people. I mean, I've seen the comments that people, you know, give to you when you post something, and how angry they get at you for posting things, and you're only posting the truth. That's what gets me. But you know, obviously, nobody wants to hear that. But you know, can you just kind of explain, you know, just the kind of stuff that you've just been seeing and hearing, and you know, the messages that you've been putting out through your ministry?
Sure. Well, it's kind of like in Jeremiah's day, when God raises up someone and gives them insight into His Word and shows them the events that are happening around them and probably coming to pass in the future. What happens is when you start giving these things, people get angry. Many are trying to be politically correct or a patriot, but we actually owe ourselves to the Lord first, because we were bought with a price, and that price was heavy through the cross and what Jesus paid for. But sometimes it's hard. We get the two mixed up, and we try to actually desire to put our trust in a man to actually save this country or pull America back up, you know, by its bootstraps, and that we're going to be a great Christian nation. But there comes a time in prophecy, what the Word of God is showing, that actually America is not mentioned in prophecy, but there's type and shadows that it would be part of Babylon, mm-hmm. Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. But what we are seeing now is the downfall of America, and actually America's being taken out of the way. But that doesn't mix well with the patriotism or Christianity of America, because they've kind of mixed the two, you know what I mean?
Right.
So when you actually post something and try to just tell the Christian public, or even the public itself, to just brace yourself and prepare and get close to Jesus, because these things, these events are going to happen, and it's not going to get better. Well, they call you a doom and gloom minister or a doom and gloom prophet. I don't proclaim to be no prophet or anything like that. It's just I can feel it. I see it. I read God's Word, and He gives you discernment of the signs of the season of the time. It's not actually the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour. But according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 8, we can know the season, that we are children of light. And Jesus actually rebuked the religious leaders of His day, because they could tell when the weather was going to get bad, but they could not tell or know the signs of the times of the season that they were in. So when you start giving these things about, especially when you weigh both candidates, whether it be Obama or Mitt Romney, most people are so angry right now, are upset and fearful, that they are really not voting on Mitt Romney as much as they are voting against Obama. That makes sense?
Right, yeah.
Is that what you're talking about, some of those things that people were getting heated about?
Yeah, or even, you know, you just saying, you know, what was something recent? Just you saying anything, you know, repent, you know, judgment is here and or it's on its way, or something, you know, along those lines. And, you know, it's just that people think to themselves, well, you know, we've been hearing the same story for how long, you know, people thought that the end was, you know, back in World War II when the Holocaust was happening, blah, 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 and now this is happening, you know, but see, we weren't there back then. We didn't have the technology that we do today. I mean, our technology has really gone above and beyond, you know, what it was back then, of course, but, I mean, I just, you know, even if I take something off yours and put it on mine, you know, just the comments that I get, well, you know, you're wrong too, or you know, who are you to say something? You know, you're a sinner. And it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm a sinner. I'm going to tell you that. But, you know, when you follow Christ, you know, it costs, and it's not that this is serious, and it's not something that you just put down and pick up every Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I mean, this is every single day, and there's a cost to there's popularity, there's the cost of being poor, there's a cost, a lot of things to follow him. And, you know, some people just aren't willing to give that up. They don't want to give up their fantasy. They don't want to give up their vacation home. They don't want to give up their glass house because they're safe in there and, well, they belong here, they think, but we're just ambassadors here, you know?
Right. Yes.
You know,
oh, I understand.
This is just our place, and having your own church. I mean, and I'm not pinpointing anybody. I mean, obviously, at one point I was there too. I thought that my world was it, and I had to have a decent job. I had to, push. And one day I woke up and said, no, this is not the life. This is not the kind of life I want to have. And I broke out of that. I broke out of that house, and I'm free of that. But there's a cost to following him. It talks about it in Luke. There's a cost to following Christ. And it's not a game. It's really, really serious.
Yes, and I believe it's about to even get more serious. I believe we're in the time of the... there's like a spiritual call coming out. What Jesus says in Matthew 25 to the 10 virgins, there were mm-hmm. 5 wise and 5 foolish. Mm-hmm. Well, the 5 foolish had no oil for their lamp. And actually that pretty much translates to walking in the flesh, not walking in the spirit. And as you walk in the flesh, you tend to look into fleshly material things and what you can see around you, but you don't look into the spirit realm or God's word on things. Like, for instance, Israel. Now, Israel is God's prophetic time clock. You can look at it. You can look at her and find and see, when you start seeing these events happening with Israel, then you know that all these things are coming to pass, that they may be saved. But here's what happens when you're in the flesh and you're a Christian and you're asleep. You're so worried and consumed about you, your four and no more, are you and your family, that you're not looking at God's will anymore. It's my will be done, not thy will be done. And so you get aggravated when these things come to pass and you say, no, nobody knows the day or the hour and it's not coming yet because I still got children and my grandchildren and my family. But if we'll look and trust the Lord, and that's where we have a problem sometimes, because we're looking at things out of the eyes of the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. It makes a big difference. And I believe he's trying to wake us up right now and tell us, like Psalms 91, to dwell in the secret place.
Mm-hmm.
But, and everybody says, well, they've said this for years. But here's another thing. You said knowledge has increased. It has increased to the point where actually Revelation chapter 11 can come to pass, where all eyes can see the two witnesses that stand in Israel and Jerusalem and give warning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they'll see them killed in the street, but that couldn't took place in 1800s or the early 1900s.
No.
And you also have a harbinger, like what happened in 9/11. 7 years from the date of 9/11, you also had the New York Stock Exchange fall to 777 points. It fell 777 points that day, almost 7 years to the date of 9/11. Now, this is trying to show us something. Now, you're looking at 7 years, which is God's number of completion,
right,
and you're seeing these things happening in America, that means, you know, we thought it was our mighty army that kept the enemies back. But actually, God has been protecting us for years. And when we turn our back on God, he just chastened us a little bit, but we're not listening. So then judgment comes after chastening. Right now, we're under mercy. And it's time, actually, right now, we're given time and space to repent. This is mercy. But when the judgment starts coming, it's going to be worse than this. And I believe this election is part of the judgment. Because there's not a good guy in the race, I put it that way, both of the Antichrist spirit. And I know Christians don't want to hear this, but it's true. I can explain it.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to wait on you. Later on, I can't explain why I'm saying this about Mitt Romney. We know about Obama.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty obvious. He makes no bones about it.
Oh, most definitely. You and I have had conversations, you know, recently about that. And, I mean, there's people will vote for somebody, it seems like, if they even have, and that's not even a godly, there is nothing about God and what he does.
No.
Or what his beliefs are, not the God I worship, you know.
Which one, Obama?
Romney.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it just seems like, you know, there's something driving him, and we know what that is. But just to get back to the judgment and everything, I mean, you know. Just look at the, you know, Texas not getting any rain again this year, you know, the storms we've had, just the odd weather, just things up in the heavens, you know, stuff going on, alignments that, you know, haven't taken place or have never taken place, and it's just interesting.
The Arab Spring?
Yeah.
You've seen that,
and
huh?
Well, yeah, and people don't want to hear any of it because it interrupts their football season. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
They don't want to step out of their selves, and it just gets me when I, you know, if I channel surf and, you know, I can't sleep or something and whatever. I like to channel surf just to see what I can pick up from the news or whatever, and just to see the commercials and stuff that come on. These people who have these ministries that are filling up these, man, if I had that opportunity, I'd be out there. People wake up, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because we're in a lot of trouble. You know, there's no time to talk about depression. There's no time to talk about, you know, how to do this and get along with your neighbor. I mean, we are really in some real hard times coming to us. And, you know, and then we see, you know, doomsday preppers, you know, people going out there and finding gold and everything in the ground and stuff. I saw this the other day and I was thinking, you know, where's the faith, number one? Do you remember the story about the woman who she had a son and she had enough, you know, bread yeast to make bread for them?
Yeah.
And every day when she went in, she always had enough. Remember that? And then somebody came to the door and said, you know, that they were hungry, and she offered it to them, and she had plenty for that. She just kept going back, and I was thinking about this morning. I'm like, nobody has any faith.
Right.
I mean,
she took care of Elijah.
Yeah. So it was just the fact that I remember that story from learning about it in Sunday school. And thinking, I'm seeing all this stuff and people repairing, and I know that the Lord pointed down to the ants, you know, and saw how they prepared, and I understand that. But who are we preparing for, ourselves or others?
Right.
You know?
It's usually, yeah, that's a thing that comes down to self. This is why Jesus said, he who follows me must deny self, take up the cross, and follow me. But what you're starting to see now is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 calls a great falling away. And the great falling away is they're not going to fall away from not having church. They're going to have their little social clubs, and they're going to have church called the Simple Church, or whatever you want to call it, the Joe Osteen Church. Actually, we have one around here that's growing fast, and they actually played AC/DC's Thunderstruck on Father's Day. Now, and you've got all these type of secular songs which has some pretty wild stuff in their words, in the wording, to play at a church. But people like it that way, and they just want to have their simplicity, and it, actually Proverbs talks about that. How long will you simple ones love your simplicity? But it's pretty ironic they call their church, the simple church, and these things are popping up. It's called the emergent system. They're popping up everywhere. But it's a great falling away. Now, here's a danger. They still believe they're just as Christian as you or I, and I'm not judging them. However, they're the five foolish virgins because it appeals to the flesh, and you're not walking by the Spirit. When you walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit refines you by the fire. Remember John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me, and he'll baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. And the whittling fan, it is in his hand, his axe laid to the root. That means, you know, we will follow him and his word. Then you'll have light, and you'll be able to see. But these people can't see afar off. And some of them will be saved out of it, but they're going to be scared when all this starts happening. These things are fixing to come to pass. They're actually crucifying people right now in Egypt. What all America thought was good, what some of America thought was good, and democracy, now has turned into radical Islam, and they're actually crucifying their opposition on crucifixes in the middle of the street in 2012. Which many people say, oh, that can't happen. Egypt's a tourist place. Not anymore. And that's fixing to happen all around the Middle East. That's why they're trying to do that in Syria. And they will get him out eventually. Mm-hmm. Now, they're off course about 6 months. They thought they would have had him out by now. Assad. But he's holding out a little bit stronger because he's got Russia behind him. However, they will eventually. It's the whole United Nations. They want a one world government.
Yeah.
And they also want Israel. Israel will be surrounded by her enemies, the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well,
this is
now that
coming.
We're not backing them up.
Oh, yeah.
We're not even backing them up.
Obama sends them actual money. It's unbelievable. Tax dollars. But Israel, she will stand alone. But this will also bring prophecy to pass that they will be alone. They will receive the wrong Messiah for 3.5 years. And when he comes in to try to destroy them, they will look upon the one they pierced. They will repent one day and look upon Jesus Christ, Zechariah 12:10, and be saved. Now, that's the will of God. And it's going to happen one day, whether it be us, our children, our grandchildren, it's going to happen. But I have a feeling we're in the beginning of what you call birth pains. It's coming. It's starting to be birthed right now. And it's pretty exciting, though. Even though we know certain things in the physical, we still have, like you said, Psalms 91 to read and have hope mm-hmm. that God is going to take care of us, no matter what our plight is.
Yeah.
Not one hair on your head will be touched, it says in Luke 21, mm-hmm. until it's our mm-hmm. turn, our appointed hour. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're about to see something we've never seen before. The church. It's going to be exciting.
Well, yeah, of course it's going to be exciting. If it's anything like those dreams, I'm excited. Really. It's very exciting. But you, I think the hurt comes from because you hurt because you see, you know, your brothers and sisters out there being misled.
Right.
You know? They're not hearing the truth because they don't want to. They're just driven by something else, and it just seems like, and it's all centered towards self. I this, I that, me that. You know what I mean? Make me feel good. You know, I want to do this for me. My goal is for me. You know what I mean? It's not thy will be done. You know,
right.
Father's will, not mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I even picked that up just seeing, you know, just different Christian movies, you know, what people might have thought the end would bring. But it seems like it all is around self. And, well, Satan's prideful. He's all about himself.
Exactly. Did you have somebody else on the line?
Not yet.
Okay, I thought I heard another. Go ahead.
Oh, anyway, so it just seems to be all centered around self. So, you know, it's just that now is the time. Now is the time to, like you said, it's the time to get on our knees and just get out there and pray. Just really pray, because we are going to need it, seriously.
Our comfort's going to come from His Word. His Word is amazing how it brings supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. It brings wisdom. It brings boldness. It brings, it actually quenches fear. There's no anxiety found in His Word. So, but one reason why is because He actually shows you. You don't have to be a prophet. Believe me, His Word is sufficient. He shows you and reveals to you by His Word what's about to happen. And you're looking at, in our generation, we are blessed beyond measure. We're actually seeing God's Word fulfilled every day. That's amazing. In 1948,
yeah.
A big one is Israel was given birth again, became a nation again. Their language for 2,000 years never went dormant. That's unheard of. They still had their language. They were given birth, and now we are that generation that is seeing this, and they're almost 70. In 2018, they'll be 70, so there's another 7 involved. And in 70 AD,
wow.
They lost their nation. Remember, the Roman Emperor Titus surrounded their nation. So you got, remember that 2008, Wall Street dropped to 777. It dropped 777 points in one day. The reason why the Lord, you say, why would the Lord use Wall Street? Because everybody in the world's focus is on what? Economy.
Mm-hmm.
How else do you get a message across to the world? Especially when all their focus is on mammon. There's many different people in denominations. They're preaching all kind of things. But I tell you one thing, everybody perked up when they seen the economy fall. And it fell 700. So that's not coincidence. He's actually showing us something. And He's saying, get ready. And that's gentle. This is a gentle nudge. It really is. It could have been a bomb. You know, He could have allowed a nuclear bomb, but He hasn't. He's been gently instructing us to trust in Him.
That's what I understand. It's like, why isn't anybody going to them and saying, look, you know, we can't leave Israel out there. We have got to stand by her. We can't just leave her there. And it's just that these politicians, you know, there's people in there that are quote-unquote Christians that go to church. I mean, I know that, you know, that people talk about, you know, how we have to defend her. I mean, they got to know this stuff, and they don't want to because they're scared. They don't want to be on His hit list.
Well, this actually, by His actual word, His prophecy, this makes sense because many will be under a strong delusion. And actually, the delusion is sent by God. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. One reason why is because they chose not to love the truth, so they received a lie.
See, they were all children at one time, okay? They didn't all grow up and, you know, everybody, you know, that's the generation, you know, they all went to Sunday school. They know the story. That's what I'm saying. They know.
This is another clue about our season. You know, it says, he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then that son of perdition will be revealed, the mystery of iniquity that has already worked. That's in 2 Thessalonians also. Well, God uses in Romans chapter 13 human authorities to keep lawlessness back.
Right.
Well, He has used America for the last 80 years or more, since World War I and more and longer, and then since Israel became a nation in 1948, to actually be on her side, to deliver weapons to her, to help her in certain ways against her enemies. However, if Israel depends on America to be the big brother or to help them all the time, then they never will do what the prophecies say they will do. They never will look up and repent. That means they won't be saved. God's will is that they go through what you call Jacob's trouble. And to go through Jacob's trouble, guess who's got to be taken out of the way? The human authorities. And guess who the authorities that have been for the last, 70, 80 years? America. We've run to every war. We've been the police of the world. But now the police are being taken what? They're being taken out of the way. So guess what that leaves? That leaves Israel alone. But she's about to be saved. This is why you can take comfort and don't get anxious and say, you know, I see what's happening now. And it's God's hands. He's still on the throne. It's amazing.
Well, of course. Yeah.
It's pretty neat. Because I see what he's doing.
It is. And they make excellent. Israel has got excellent weaponry. Excellent weaponry. You know?
Excuse me, Ross.
Yes?
Is our other guest area code 618?
Daryl would know.
Daryl?
Shane's not coming on right now at this time. He had to run to the hospital to check on a person that was in serious condition. So
okay.
It'd be a later date.
All right.
You might have a call in.
Should I ask them if they have a question?
Sure. Bother me now.
Let me see here. Okay, the little circle. Hello, area code 618. Are you just listening or do you have a question?
Just listening in. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put you back on hold.
Well, praise the Lord.
Oh. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine with me. What about you, Roz? You still there?
It hasn't shown her dropping out, but her phone does drop a lot.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. And then it takes like a whole minute to actually show it dropped. Roz, are you there? No, she probably dropped.
Well, who am
I
talking to?
Go on and continue your discussion, and I'll just put her back on when she calls back in.
Well, sure. A lot of this is found, as I've been quoting from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It is amazing because it breaks it down and starts showing the reason why many people can't see it that's been studying the Bible a long time or Bible scholars is because a lot of times we read to understand the Bible by men's commentaries. And there's nothing wrong with that. Many have good revelation and good things on it. But some people have interjected certain commentary to certain scripture verses that actually are not quite correct, but we kind of take them as they're correct, and so we don't see what's happening in front of our eyes unless we ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord Jesus, can you show me what this means for where I live, my season? You know, not 600 AD, not 1800, not 1900, but 2012. What does this mean for me in my life and my children and my family and everybody I'm involved with? What does this mean for us? And he will show you. And as he reveals 2 Thessalonians to you by the Holy Spirit, I think every Christian that is pure at heart, blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God, is what Jesus said. If you're literally seeking truth, not man's denominational doctrines, not some commentary by Spurgeon or Wycliffe or anybody else, but you're really seeking truth, doesn't mean none of them are, you know, I'm nothing against them. He will actually reveal truth to you for your season, and it will just come alive. And that's what brings the peace in your heart. Because once you see it, you go, okay, I see what's happening. There's no sense in fighting this against the system or fighting this or getting angry at this person or that person. This is all happening for a reason. God is orchestrating this thing. All things will work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And you start seeing this working out now. Romans 8:28. And you're like, wow, his word's like a big jigsaw puzzle, and it fits together perfectly. And it gives you a lot of faith.
Father is amazing. Yes, Father is amazing the way he will reveal it to you when you seek it.
Yes.
The commentaries help put things in perspective, like when they discuss the figures of speech and
history.
Ways of life at the time it was written.
Yeah.
You know, and historical data. But when it comes right down where the rubber hits the road, it's got to be personal. And if it's got to be personal, it's got to be revealed to
to you from Father. That's, you know, that's what relationship is all about, is communicating.
That's exactly right. And I think we've missed it with many divisions we've had in the body of Christ. If we're just talking about the church, I mean, we're supposed to be like a body, and there's gifts he gives to the body, and some gifts are teaching gifts, pastoring gifts. You got the prophet, you got the evangelist, and you got the apostle gift. All these things, the fivefold ministry is still there, even though many denominations take them out and say there's only threefold now. The Bible says there's actually a fivefold. But these are gifts. And as each one has their own gift, if we came together, instead of just parting and trying to build our own kingdoms and these big churches and these big mega churches with big crosses up on the hills and making all kind of money and buying Jaguars and million-dollar homes, instead if we'd humble ourselves, come together and seek our treasure from heaven, praise God, he would reveal many things to the body of Christ. But what really bothers me is when I start seeing these church leaders, like especially with this election, encouraging others because they're so fearful of Obama or whatever might happen in the future, that they're encouraging the people that they minister to go ahead and connect themselves with Mitt Romney. See, when you vote, everybody thinks it's no big deal. But, I mean, yeah, I'm not involved. Yes, when we vote, we connect ourselves with the person we vote for. And whatever evils they do, we help to do because we help put them in a place of position. That's what God showed me. I had to repent back in 2008 because I didn't realize how serious it was. I'm like, it's my civic duty. I'm just going to go up there and punch it, you know? No, you're touching on the grin.
This year is so difficult to figure out because of, you know, Father's time that we're in as far as being under judgment, and you know he puts people in there for a reason. Obama is our judgment. I honestly believe that.
It's definitely part of it.
And I think I may write in this year if they let you, but I'm also, I haven't totally heard from Father on what I'm going to vote because I've always believed that voting is your civic duty. It was something that was pounded into my head by my father. But your vote is also important to Father.
Oh, yes.
And it's an indication of where you are spiritually
definitely.
When you vote.
I certainly agree.
I don't know if I'm coming out of Babylon this year and not voting or if I'm going to write in. Father hasn't fully told me what to do, either I haven't understood fully what I'm supposed to do, one or the other.
I think everybody should personally pray, but here's what he led me personally to. Because, I mean, I am with everybody else about it's radical in the White House right now. It don't mean I don't love them people. It's just radical. They're really radical. They're bringing Islam in. Yes, it's in the natural, it's scary. You're like, wow, this is unbelievable. But as I started reading and seeing the events that's taking place, we know we're going to be taken care of as his children. Either way, we're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. It don't matter what we have to walk through, he will give more grace to each individual that has to walk through whatever they walk through, whether it be persecution, whether or not it may not ever get persecuted. And some are going to be with the Lord through death. We don't know. However, he will be with us through the end. But he led me to 2 John about this voting thing. And he showed me that in verse 9 through 11, it says, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your home, neither bid him Godspeed. That's the key word. For he who bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That means even if you support these people that are with the Antichrist spirit, you're either with Christ or you're not with Christ. There's no middle ground. A lot of people like to say, well, there's a middle ground. No, you're either Antichrist or you're full of the Holy Spirit. There's only two spirits. So what happens if we connect ourselves with even Mitt who is, it's really deeper than most people look at and they think. He hasn't mentioned his Mormon faith all that much, but he's been groomed to be a fulfillment of what is called the White Horse Prophecy that was made by Joseph Smith back in the 1800s. And they
believe.
You've heard about that, huh?
I've heard about that, but please explain it to our listeners. And Roz is back.
Oh, she's back. Well,
sorry
praise
about
the
that.
Lord.
My reception here gets weird sometimes.
Well, what's your name?
Now
the other, the lady
I'm
I was just
Dorothy,
talking.
By the way. I know Roz didn't introduce, but I'm watching.
I did introduce her. You just weren't here. She's my co-host.
Oh, we were just going to town.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Sorry, I'll hang up.
No. That's okay. No, I love your input. But, yeah, he's been groomed for this.
We're getting in the chat room that they would like to hear about the White Horse Prophecy because they've never heard of it. So it's easy to find to explain that.
Well, I'm not sure the exact date he made this prophecy, probably somewhere between 1815 and 1830, because I believe it was around 1810 that he came out of the cave with his divinity rod, supposedly had golden tablets that he found, and made a new religion. And he was actually into Wicca and Freemasonry. So when he came out, he was already into witchcraft. Him and his father did this. They were looking for gold and silver to make a living. But when he came out of the cave, years later, he had a prophecy he laid down. And it sounds pretty close as far as, you know, because, you know, demons can also prophesy. You know, you got Nostradamus, you got these other false prophets, and they get pretty close to some things. And then you got the Mayan calendar, you know. These are demons. These are not the Holy Spirit's prophecies, but these are demonic prophecies.
Yeah.
Well, he prophesied that in the end days, America's Constitution will be hanging in the balance. And as it hangs in the balance by a shred, there will be a Mormon, a high priest Mormon, and he will come in like on a spiritual white horse and save America. Now, I think it was 1967, his father wanted to try to fulfill this prophecy, and I think he ran for president and lost. And so they've been grooming Mitt since around 67 to 68. I believe he was in college at that time. They've been grooming him for this white horse prophecy. So him to be this close, he really feels he's not going to say this. Of course not. But he feels that he is the fulfillment of this. And what we don't understand is they actually believe that they can ascend to godhood in Mormonism. So he believes if he does make president that this is part of his ascending to godship. They believe Father God was a man that had sex with Mary, and then Jesus and Lucifer were conceived, their brothers, and that Father God ascended to godship, and that's where he has his own planet. They believe that as they ascend to godship, they have their own planet. And as far as their wives are concerned, they're only saved by childbearing, or if the wife pleases the husband, then at the resurrection, he can call her up, the one that pleased him. Now, this is how silly and demonic Mormonism is. But if you talk to people about this, they'll say, well, everyone I've ever met was real sweet and nice. Well, that may be true, but doesn't make the religion itself true. We can't go by, outer fruits about someone being sweet in the flesh. We have no idea what their heart's like. The Antichrist is going to be sweet in the flesh. He's going to come as a man that has dark wisdom and knows how to bring some supposed peace. And many people are going to say, well, he brought peace to the Middle East with Israel and Islam. That's amazing. It doesn't matter what he does. It's the black heart involved. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, they are of the Antichrist spirit.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is he's being raised to a platform, and all the Christians are getting behind him in this. You see how bad this is?
Yeah.
And I hadn't even mentioned the Freemasonry Illuminati connection with Mitt Romney and the Mormon Church. It goes deeper than this. And yet we're so willing to get rid of somebody else out of fear, aggravation, animosity, or whatever it may be, that we're going to put a witch, a literal one that worships Lucifer, in there. They literally got signs of the goat head in Utah, the Mormon tabernacle. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've studied these things.
Yeah, that's why he says to know his word. That's why he says, That's why he says to read my word, know me, because he's the enemy's going to come at us like,
yes,
you know.
He's very subtle. He's very subtle. It's not obvious all the time unless you are children of light. You're going and you've trimmed your lamp and you're walking by the Spirit. The only way you can know these things is by the Holy Spirit. That's why a lot are frustrated, because they're busy. Doesn't mean they're not saved. It means they're busy in life, that they hadn't settled down and got before the Lord and really took the time to see this and look and say, Lord, what would you have me do? They're busy. Some of us have two or three jobs, you know, to try to make it. And so our head's spinning when we need to slow down, stop, and say, God, I need to get before you for a minute. I need to get off the Facebook, push back the chocolate cake, get out of Luby's or wherever you're going, and get down there and say, Lord, I'm going to have to fast a little bit from the Facebook and some food, man, because it's got my mind going.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's trying to do. He's being gentle with us. I promise you. He really is. We're going down real slow. It could have been real fast. Did you know Russia had a submarine in the Gulf down here by me? I'm in the boot down here in Louisiana. They were down here, and America didn't know about it.
Oh, no. No, au contraire. I have a friend who's in the National Guard, and he told me that they were patrolling for 2 weeks above. They were, and I read it to Dorothy. Dorothy, do you remember?
Yes, like they were monitoring what was going on. And I also saw a story that Russia was looking into buying BP's assets in the Gulf, and they wanted to see what the situation truly was.
They were there.
Really?
Yeah, because they were patrolling. They were up in the sky. They were patrolling over it.
Remember that Chinese missile that off the west coast in California that went the other way?
Yep.
Now, that was kind of odd. It came out of the water, and it fired the other way. So something was underneath there, too. So there's things that could have happened to us that hasn't happened to us. Plus, you got sleeper cells of Islam in here that's come, and the borders are wide open. I mean, they're wide open down here. So there's still protection on us right now. There really is. Or we'd be in trouble because they seek to destroy us. So they haven't been able to yet. God is still on the throne, but he's allowing certain things to happen. He's trying to shake us awake. You know how you do your children when you wake them up for school? You don't just want to just shove them. You know, you want to kind of gently say, it's time to get up.
Well,
come
it depends
on
the kid.
Come on, little Johnny or Susie. It's time to get up. Alarm clock went off an hour ago. I got some grits I'm going to shove in your face, and you got to go on to school. But he's trying to wake his children up, y'all. Yeah. I'm from down south. You got to excuse me.
No. I will. I'm telling you, I will pay Daryl to do my voicemail for me because it's just too funny.
I can't get enough of it.
There's a new movie out. It's called that's coming out. It's called Branded. And I was watching it last night, and I saw the trailer for it. And the first thing I did was call Dorothy. Dorothy, you guys see this? And she's like, "Huh? What, Roz? You know?" I'll call her.
I'm having a few bad days. What can I say?
But it was centered around, from what I remember, because I tried channel surfing to see if I could find it again. I wanted to see it again, the trailer for it, and it was all surrounded around commercials, but it all had to do with this barcode.
Really?
The barcode was like made up of blocks. It was really weird, and people were driven by, they called it gluttony of the television. And I can't remember, and it was driven, and this big, huge beast comes out from the ground. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I called Dorothy last night, and I called Darnett's husband, Larry, today, left a message on his, because this thing was like, I was like, wow. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh. And I kept thinking, my spirit just started feeling real icky. And it was just like, man, people just have no, they don't know. They don't understand how, like you were saying, he's subtle. Well, he's subtle in a lot of ways. Gluttony just isn't with food. It's with TV. It's with any, you know what I mean? I just couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. And of course, this one man was going to save it all. You know what I mean? There's always one man who.
I got chicken skin. I call it chill. When you get chill bumps, I call it chicken skin, man. You know why? I just freaked on this. Man, I ain't never heard of this. Yeah. You're tripping me out. Man, now my head's
spinning. It's on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. I did download it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Really?
Yes.
They've got this thing in Washington, D.C. called The Awakening. Have y'all seen this thing? It's a 100-foot giant coming out of the ground. And its head is protruding out of the ground. It's in a park. Its arm is coming out of the ground. Have you heard about this?
I think I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, somebody spent a big money and had an artist make this thing. It looks like out of some type of, I don't know, titanium or whatever. And it's coming, it's buried, and it's coming out of the ground, symbolizing Baal, which goes back to Nimrod.
Right.
Just kind of like the obelisk, the Washington Memorial is actually an obelisk, and there's one in New York. There's one. They're all over the world.
Oh, they're all over the place. I mean, they've been making obelisks since the beginning of time, it seems like. Ancient Egypt did the same thing.
But if you'll notice, though, the thing is, they're starting. Well, I was fixing to tell you a while ago when I got interrupted, my ADD took over and my mind went somewhere else. my attention took off. The reason this season for our leaders is our leaders were in high school and in college at the time of John Lennon's Imagine. These seeds of songs and seeds of movies and these things are planted in our mind, a brotherhood of man, that we're going to be as one without God. And this is what Nimrod had, building the Tower of Babel. These things are coming back. You see, these seeds were planted 30, 40 years ago in the 70s, the 80s, when these leaders were really susceptible in their mind. They were young.
Mm-hmm.
These songs went in. You've got not only that, they played this at the Olympics, at the ending of the Olympics.
I know. The little kids were singing it.
And it was Queen's, Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes. Yes, that's what I was trying to say. But these things have hidden seeds in them. Let me tell you what the Bohemian Rhapsody says. This will blow your ever-loving mind. Now, I used to laugh at it because it just sounded so weird when he's talking about I will not let you go. Remember that?
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah.
We will not let you go. You know what it's saying?
Yeah.
It's saying let him go. Do you know what
Bishmala
means? Bishmala says, it says Bishmala will not let you go. Bishmala in Arabic is actually Allah, Rahim. It's the short version of Allah. Bishmala will not let you go. And then at the end of that, it says, Beelzebub has the devil put aside for me, for me.
Yeah, yeah,
these things were played at the Olympics. Now, also, Bishmala is something they do before they eat the food, or they bless the food before they prepare the food, like halal meats.
Mm-hmm.
Bishmala is the prayer to Allah. It's a name for Allah. Isn't that amazing? Freddie Mercury, his parents lived in a Middle Eastern country, and they believed in Zoroastrianism. I think that's how you pronounce it. In Princeton ways, anyway. Out here in Halton, I pronounce it that way. But I know. And then you got John Lennon's Imagine, a brotherhood of man. And then you got the Muslim Brotherhood. And then you got a one world, you know, government trying to come together and a one world religion. This is all in our lifetime. Our generation is seeing this, and it's behind the scenes. But it's actually coming to fruition. These people think they're doing a good thing. Because our
and they're
brains
not
are like,
little kids. And little kids are singing this.
I know. But these people, these leaders now, they're leaders of the free world. I mean, you got leaders all over the world now that used to listen to this stuff when they were children. Now it's in their mind as a computer. Believe me, it comes back. I still remember Leave It to Beaver. I mean, it'll blow your mind, but your brain will pull back up. It's like a supercomputer. It really is. God made our brains to be like a supercomputer, and don't you think Lucifer don't know it? Satan knows he was right there. So he said he's patient. He'll sit there and plant these things, and we don't think they're nothing. We're just listening to the rhythm. But actually, the words are going in. And so in our hearts, without the Holy Spirit, or just on our own, we think we're doing a good thing because this has been planted a long time ago. But now it's coming to fruition. And they're going to build this thing. Remember the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna's, Illuminati thing?
Yeah.
They're going to build this thing. And if God allows it to happen in our season, then it'll be allowed to happen and Israel go through. But we don't know. But it looks like it's being allowed right now. And our election is just horrible. I mean, our selection for the election. It's an illusion. It's actually a snare. It's a test, too, for all of us. And it's mighty quiet on the other end over here.
Well, I mean, just thinking about all that stuff. I was thinking because, I was born in 72. So, my thing was, I remember the 70s growing up. And thinking about, in the 80s was when I was a teenager. So I was thinking about what songs and all the songs that, they had, they were really stupid. The song that it came out in the 80s, they were just hair, just hair, big hair. And it was all about big hair and,
Have you ever heard that song, Broken Down? Have you ever heard the song Imagine, just broken down, just kind of red? Did I do that last time?
Oh, yeah, I've read that. We did Stairway to Heaven last time.
This will blow your mind because he's saying imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky.
Yeah.
Imagine all the people living for today. So that's definitely flesh. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't too hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one.
Mm-hmm.
Now keep in mind, Revelation 17. And this is without Jesus. It's not one accord in Christ like Book of Acts. This is one accord for the devil. It's called a brotherhood of man.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Whose number is what? 666. The number of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Now that's what's in the mind. It was made real popular after he was killed, like 81.
Sure. No, he was born. He was killed in 80, wasn't he? March of 80.
Was it? Yeah. And the guy had three first names.
Mm-hmm.
John Hinckley Jr. or something.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? Good grief. I hope they never do my name that way, Daryl Ray Mosley. I'm kind of random.
No, it wouldn't be like that. It would be Daryl Ray Mosley.
Well, see, the Lord's given me a sense of humor because I bring some pretty heavy stuff on people, and it's kind of heavy, so I got to put some sugar in there a little bit with them old, with that liver and them collard greens. We're feeding spiritually, and you can see it when I'm preaching on the faces. I can see some of the faces getting real heavy. And that's when I'll just throw my thing out there and just say, hey, wait a minute. It's going to be okay. I'm just letting you know what's going on. Don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 91. You were moving by the Holy Ghost a while ago. When you said Psalm 91, that's exactly where we go to. It's awesome. And it's not because you did a tithe either. He protects you because you love him and have received him in Jesus' name is what it says. They have known my name, set their love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Many pastors will tell you, it's because you gave a tithe to me. Oh, yes. He's going to deliver you if you'll send that seed in.
Do you see that? I mean, I see that. I spend $1,000 in, you know, they'll sow the seed and send you a hanky. I'm like, what?
It's so sad.
How does this person get away with it? And you see people calling all in, and it's like,
man.
Well, if you can't give $1,000, you know, you can give this, and I, you know, we'll give you a tech. I'm like, really?
And they've got to be successful.
Get away with it because people don't read their Bibles and have Father write the scripture on their hearts. So they have no reference. That's why we're supposed
to
study.
But when people see tithe in there, I mean, we got to make sure we send that money because, you know, we want to get, you know, back sevenfold and or we want to get this and that and the other thing. And it's like, who started this? Why is it that that's what people hit for is the pocket? Why do they got to go there?
You got gangsters and heathens tithing. I'm telling you, when I was a gangster and a heathen, a man came by my shop and convinced me and said I'd be blessed if I tithe, and I had a business. And I said, you know what, it's been kind of slow lately. I'm going to try this. So I started doing, boy, business started coming in. I couldn't stay in church. Didn't want nothing to do with the Lord, but I just wanted money. So I was giving this guy a tithe to take to his church. and I got bewitched off into it, too. The Lord said, yeah, you see, is that me? I said, no, that's not you. That's some type of, I don't know, religiosity. And then he showed me to the Word where it's wrong. We get from our heart now.
It's whatever God's driving behind it. That's what you're serving.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're being faithful to them, you know. And they're going to give you what you want. And then when
he has met our, sometimes our hearts are carnal and we don't know no better and we're taught a certain way, and he has met us where we were at, like Jacob. That wasn't a correct prayer Jacob prayed back then when he said, God, if you'll do this, I'll give you a tenth of all my earnings. Now you're trying to manipulate God. You're not saying, Lord, I just love you, period. You know, I just want to be in your heavenly sheepfold. Jacob's not, so okay, here you go. I'm going to bargain with you. Well, you know, in our carnality, we do that. And he meets us there, and he met me there one time when my wife was dying. I said, I'll do anything you want me to do, anything. I didn't know he was going to have me be on a radio show 8.5 years later. But that's... Badoon, we need a drum. But still, in my carnality, I didn't know, and I made a deal with him, and he met me there. But we're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to move on to maturity, praise God, get on the meat. And then we realized, you know, that really wasn't quite right to do God that way, but he met me there out of his mercy. So now we don't have to give a tithe. That was a schoolmaster. Now we give out of our heart, from the love of our heart for the Lord.
Yeah,
so that souls may be saved. If you start measuring it out, you're putting yourself back under law, and you'll be under the curse every time, it says in Galatians chapter 3. But Jesus delivered us from the curse, amen. Our faith is in him, not our manipulation.
Right.
You see where I was going with that?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that one time.
Yeah. I just found it interesting that... that, you know, you saw something like that on there, and then you see the, you know, the Jewish Ethiopians who are stuck over there, who are trying to get home to Israel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're being separated because some of their families are able to go because of donations, and then some have to stay. And all they want to do is go home, and when they get off that plane, to the ground they go, because they're just happy that they're in the Holy Land, and they don't even have a place to live. They just want to get there. You know, they just want to get there. They just want to get off that plane and kiss the ground, and, you know, they don't even know where they're going to go.
So when I see commercials like that, or whatever you want to call them, I mean, call them commercials, it just makes me sick that you know, here are these, you know, poor Ethiopians are, you know, Jewish Ethiopians who want to get home. They just want to get home. And you know that the Lord says that all his people will be back there.
He will bring them back.
Yeah, he will bring them back. And, you know, it's just, hey, they'll
That's
even take $35 a month, you know, just to put money toward a ticket back there. I think it's $350 to get them back there. They get on a bus and a plane and they go.
That's what he said he would do. Praise God. That's another prophecy right there in front of our face, that when he missed,
yeah,
he is bringing them back,
mm-hmm,
to that land, wherever they, from the north parts. He said, I'll bring them from the north parts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bringing them back. Isaiah prophesied that. And Jeremiah's even got that in there. I think it's in 16. He's bringing them back. There's a reason for that. But the thing is, we need to be praying for them, because there is what's called Jacob's trouble that they will have to go through. And that means, and I've talked to some rabbis, and I'm telling you, bless their hearts, they are really blind. Paul's not kidding about Romans chapter 11. Now, they haven't, you know, they're blinded right now. They actually, do you know that the rabbis believe that Islam is holy also? That they serve the same God? It's just that not radical Islam that's misinterpreted? I didn't know that. I had a man nationally was, you know, debating me on the Dome of the Rock. And this was a rabbi. I mean, he's been there like 20, 30 years, rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. And he said it's a holy place. The Dome of the Rock they consider holy. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I said, you got to be kidding me. And he took offense. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but the Dome of the Rock is not a holy place. It's not a holy shrine. He said, yes, we consider Muslims serving the same God. Allah just means God's name. I said, no, it doesn't. I don't know where y'all been learning, but Allah's a moon god. Come out of Arabia back in 610. I don't know what they're learning. But they see, so they're being positioned to receive a Messiah coming, the Al-Mahdi, the 12th Imam, the Muslims'
right.
12th Imam. And Israel will receive them too. And I'm seeing that, I'm going, wow. So it's all being conditioned where they will do exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 5. You do not receive me, I'll come in my Father's name, but you shall receive another in his own name.
Mm-hmm.
And they will. And it's very soon, this guy's fixing to rise up. And it goes back to 2 Thessalonians again.
Remember you and I were talking the other day about how the religions, we were talking about Romney first and how the religions are all tied together.
Yes.
Just, and that's just going to form this one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes, it actually goes back to what we were talking about a while ago. That's why you see all the types and shadows in D.C. of Baal worship, which is actually Nimrod, another name for Nimrod, who set all these religions up. All the, you see, we've been taught that some of these people's religions are because of their culture. Because that's their culture. They were raised in it. We need to be kind-hearted, and we need to be, you know, accepting that that's their God. That's the way they worship God. That's not true. Nimrod set all these false religions up, and some of them spin off from what Nimrod set up way back in 4,000 years ago. Well, actually, yeah, about 42, 4,300 years ago, he set this up at the Tower of Babel before he built the Tower of Babel, or had it before they started building. He set obelisk up, 12 of them. And that's where it was a different god for each month. And people started making, they would go gravitate towards their religion or their particular god so he could bring all these people together as one to build this. You see where I'm going with this? To build this tower.
Yeah.
And that's at first exactly what's fixing to happen. They're going to actually, everybody worships the same god kind of mentality. And they're going to come together in what you call a one world peace movement, and he's going to broker the deal, and that's where the chip comes in. As he brokers it, and he brokers a peace treaty, in order to be in this one world peace treaty, you're going to have to deny that your way is the only exclusive way to God. You see what I'm saying? Because if you don't, Now, the Muslims and Jews, they're already going to be hoodwinked. They're going to think this guy's a Messiah, so they're not going to have no problem with it. That this is their Messiah talking. So, but the other religions they're going to have to denounce, and some of them are mystery religions, so they don't have an exclusive way anyway. They don't even know where they're at, half of them. In Buddhism and Hinduism, they got 300, 3,000 different gods. But there are religions that believe it's their way, like Christianity, for instance. We're going to be persecuted because we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him, John 14:6. So that's the first group that's going to be hit. But most Christians believe they'll already be gone. That's why I was telling you a while ago. They've looked at 2 Thessalonians by commentary, and they say we're raptured right here in the great falling away. And it says a great... Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'm not saying that that's false. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen when they think it's going to happen.
Well, it's not biblical. It's actually comes from John Darby, John Nelson Darby, in the 1830s. This theory...
Like the monk or...
Yeah, they had a little bit of it before he made it popular, but he made it very popular. It was called a pre-trib rapture. Now, I'm not against that'd be lovely. But be honest with you, as you read the Bible, Paul actually tells us something totally different. Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a lot of information in that chapter. If you look at it.
Yeah, you reference that quite a lot tonight.
I can't help it. He's telling us that day of the Lord Jesus Christ will not come until there's a great falling away. And we know what the falling away is. I know they try to change it in the Greek and say it's a catching away, that we're raptured there. But that's, we know in our heart that's not what that's saying. It's actually telling you there's a falling away. It's an apostasy, which lines up with what Paul said in what, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the latter days, there'll be those that depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. The Bible lines up with itself, and it tells you. So after the falling away, then the Antichrist is revealed. Not the rapture, the Antichrist. He's revealed after the falling away. They're saying he's revealed after we're raptured. But that's not what that says there. So if we're honest with ourselves and we read it, we're going, okay, somebody's interpreting this stuff and kind of interjecting it. And that came from John Nelson Darby, who brought it here to the colleges of Harvard and all the big colleges back then, and seminaries. All these used to be seminaries. Now they're secular schools. And it became very popular among denominationalism, you know. Every denomination took it. But when you read it, you go, uh-oh. If you look at it, it all starts making sense. And many people say, okay, it says he's taken out of the way. If you go on, I guess, to verse 6, and then you go on through 7, it starts talking about a he being taken out of the way. Well, many people thought that was the church. And some people think that's the Holy Spirit. And they say, oh, sure, when the world without no Holy Spirit is going to be horrible. But, you know, nobody can come to the Lord and be saved during the tribulation without the Holy Spirit. So we know it's not the Holy Spirit taken out of the way.
Yeah, I've heard that more than once, that the Holy Spirit was going to be, that after they are taken up, that that the Holy Spirit wasn't going to be here anymore. And
the church is not a he. The church is a she. She's a bride.
But
I think it's Michael. I think it's Archangel Michael who kicked him out of heaven. And this is my opinion. Can't really place it anywhere in the scripture, but I think it's Archangel Michael.
That would be Revelation chapter 12, when they have war in heaven and Satan is kicked out of heaven. That definitely could be. This is actually speaking of how God is the he who allows the little he. The little he is actually the human authorities, like we were talking about a while ago. The governing authorities that God has is Romans chapter 13. But he removes that and takes that out of the way for the lawlessness of Islam or whatever to be revealed. You know Islam is going to be an end-time religion because of the beheadings in Revelation chapter 20. When John seen many saints beheaded. Well, Islam's the only religion that beheads. Plus, they have the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount. So they've made themselves part of prophecy right there. They're going to be in there, and they're going to be the sword. And the one world religion is going to desire peace, and if they have to get rid of us to do it, they'll use Islam as their sword. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. But then he's going to desire all that put down, and he wants worship just like Nimrod. As Nimrod got higher in that tower, he wanted to become God and wanted them to put down all that other worship and worship him alone. And that's also in 2 Thessalonians. I hate to keep going back here, but it says in verse 4, he says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So eventually he's going to have this put down, all those mystery religions, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. It all makes sense. And that's where that awakening stuff comes from and all this other weird stuff, Georgia Guidestones and all these strange demonic things that are popping up everywhere.
Isn't that sick?
Yeah, I know. It's an Antichrist spirit. And either way, the only thing that Mitt doesn't have that Obama has is a connection with Islam. The rest of it, he is globalist. He's supported the same things Obama supported all his life. He's just changed recently on a lot of things, like homosexuality has been changed. He forced them in Massachusetts in 2006 to marry same-sex marriage. The justice of the peace is up there. And that was before it became a law. Y'all remember that? He did that. But now he's saying he's for, you know, or against same-sex marriage and for DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. But it's only because it's politically correct for him, because he was aggressive about that. If you look at his past, there's no difference. It's the same size, two faces of the same coin. This is what we have. So we're here. I'm sorry. I'm getting serious again. They done cut me off.
I do have a question from the chat room, if you're ready.
Yes, ma'am.
Coldwater wants to know, what do you think will be the next big sign? And Roz has dropped out again.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she'll be back.
I thought I heard it
click. What? The next big sign that the end is here, I think he's trying to say.
Oh.
There she is.
Actually, the next big sign would be a coalition with one of the next big signs would be a coalition with the Muslim Brotherhood surrounding Israel. And then you got the Israel and Iran thing. That's probably a small skirmish. But the coalition to get the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood in one accord to come against Israel together is very serious. That's a very serious end-time event. One reason why is because there's always been Islam around them. They've got Muslims in their own country, of course. But the ones that seek to destroy them have never been in one accord. Now, they tried back in 1948 when they first became a nation, and
mm-hmm.
certain nations tried in 1967. But this time, they're going to make an effort together as one. They've had dictators in there for years, all around Israel, and they took payoffs from the United States to keep the peace. We know that, Mubarak, Assad, even Gaddafi, and Saddam Hussein. You notice how this doesn't matter what president is involved. Saddam
mm-hmm.
Hussein had to go. There's a reason for that. And then you had all these other ones are going. All these people that were light on Christians, they were literally light and helped Christians, actually, these dictators. I mean, they were like Nebuchadnezzar. Saddam actually put Christians to work because he could not trust his own people, so he trusted Christians in his, you know, his upper, you know, government, kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. But when you see these events and they start putting the Muslim Brotherhood leaders all through their surrounding Israel like they are right now, Libya, you got Egypt, Syria, We don't know what's fixing to happen with Iran yet. But when this skirmish takes place, it's going to be a skirmish. And that's when the man that wants to make the peace deal, who will be the Antichrist, will rise up after this huge skirmish that causes the world economy to just fall flat. Because you're talking about gas prices going to probably about $8 to $10 a gallon. Yeah. When all this takes place over there, it's going to be bad in Europe and America. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is, I hate to say it, but, you know, what affects our economy starts affecting us then. You know, we don't get involved for some reason of humanity. We worry about the mighty dollar, a lot of people. So as the gas prices go up and everybody starts losing money, businesses start going under, it'll just flatten our economy already. And this man will have he will have the dark wisdom that Daniel says he will have. And what I mean by dark wisdom is he'll have the ability to bring peace between these two because they will believe he is their Messiah, for the Jews side. So mama or daddy will have Jewish bloodline. I think it's the mother in the Jewish bloodline, and it's the daddy in Islam. So the mother will be Jewish and the daddy will be Islamic, the Antichrist's father and mother. So they're going to run his bloodline. They're going to trace it. The Jews will trace it, and then Islam, the leaders of Islam, will trace it to see if he's their 12th Imam. And he's going to have both. He's going to bring peace, and he's going to bring wealth back to the world's economic system. And the EU has already made a seat for him, and the number 666 in the EU. You can look that up. That'll blow your mind. And it's vacant right now.
Right. That was within the last year that came up, didn't it, the last year?
And as far as I know, yes. It actually became vacant.
You think the skirmish that's about to happen is tied to the scripture where it says, you know, when, was it Jerusalem or Israel is surrounded by armies?
Right.
I can't remember exactly the... I don't know why I can't remember details like that, but...
Well, it's actually not the Armageddon part. It's actually, this is what will start a problem to make rise for the man of perdition. He will rise to power out of this skirmish that's about to happen. You can feel the tension in the air. The war drums are beating. And after this takes place, he will come with his dark wisdom, and I mean he'll just bewitch the world to make peace. That means that right there will help economies of all kinds of different nations because war costs money and weapons cost money. Not only that, Israel will believe in him so much so, Netanyahu and all of them, that they will surrender part of their nuclear capability. Because there's a prophecy also that as he does all this, when he decides to actually break the covenant he makes for 7 years and 3.5, it says he comes against them without walls. That means they have no protection because he's done deceived them into surrendering their protection for peace. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So when you hear peace, peace, peace.
Yes.
That's a Daniel,
sudden destruction.
Right?
Yes, they have to flee. I believe they'll flee to what you call Petra, which is on the other side of Jordan, which is in Jordan. And they'll have to flee to Petra, which holds... I think it holds more than 1 million people in the water. There's still water in the wells in Petra. It was carved out of a rock, out of a mountain. It's awesome. So all this is lined up, but they flee, and it looks like to the world that Jerusalem has been taken by the Antichrist, by this leader. It's going to look that way. But that's when all these events in Revelation in the last 3.5 years start happening. Then I believe, the Lord takes us home before his wrath is poured out. We suffer persecution from the Antichrist system, but we don't suffer the wrath of God.
Right.
And then that wrath is going to be poured out. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense to me.
Well, I'm just a country princeton boy.
Coldwater says that you're the only end-time watchman he's asked that could answer that question.
Well, praise the Lord, because I am just a donkey. I can tell you that. I was just dumb as dirt. When the Lord found me, I was an empty vessel. My brain was slick as a bowling ball. There was no wrinkles in it. All I did was fish and do my job. I hated reading. I had ADHD. I did not like to read. It put me to sleep. He did something to me I can't explain. And I'm telling you, it's been on since. And yet, it makes some people mad, but I love them. If they'll just go home and pray about it, the Lord will show them certain things. I ain't right. I'm not right about it. Just everything. I'm not saying I am, but there are things that make sense. And I really feel this is what's happening right now. It brings comfort to me to know that the Lord's already showed us. Jesus said,
yeah.
I've told you these things already. So you can go, wow, that means he's going to be with us. It's not all coming unglued. It's all in his plan. Even Obama. And it's partial judgment, yes, but it's not complete judgment because this was a plan from the very beginning, y'all, from before the foundations of the world. Where Christ was crucified before the foundations of the world. You were right here. He knew you would be right there before the foundations of the world. He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So we can definitely say it's not above our pay grade on abortion. Hello. Because life existed in God before it was ever gifted into the woman and the seed. He said, I knew you, Jeremiah, before. That's amazing to me that people don't see that. And you got leaders in the Christian church saying that life begins at conception. That's not true. It really isn't. Maybe a fleshly life or a clay vessel. But
yeah.
No, God knew you. He knew you. That's why Jesus could wash them disciples' feet. Don't get me to preaching. Because he said he knew where he'd come from and he knew where he was going back to. If we knew where we came from and knew where we were going back to, then we could be humble. Praise God, that's a word.
I love that phrase in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of my favorite books.
Isn't that awesome?
And I feel bad that he was, you know, so misused and abused.
Oh,
and I get a kick out of the way Father said to him, I'm going to send you over here to these people. I'm going to tell you what to say. They're not going to listen to you, but you got to say it anyway. And I just get a kick out of that.
His own family came up to the prison, to the jail he was being held in, and ripped him off. they had him buy some land. They were getting rid of their land because all the stuff that was going on. They ripped him off. But the Lord had him buy that land for a reason. Because years later, he was bringing them back out of captivity.
Yep.
Hallelujah. 70 years later. So Jeremiah did it by faith, but you know he had to get with the Lord and say, why did I just do that? Why not just buy that property? The property is going to be taken over by Babylonia. The Babylonians are coming in. But that's all right. It was bought for a future date. Praise the Lord. But I think it is vital that we understand, you know, who we connect with. In this season, I think this whole season right that we're in right now, this particular day is a test for every Christian to walk in the spirit, not the flesh. Because God's going to put up who he wants to put up in there. And it may make us upset and mad, but if you understand these prophecies, you won't get mad no more. You'll say, I see what's going on. I see it now. And you'll have peace, and everybody will say, where are you getting this peace from? The Word of God. Remember, in Acts chapter 4, them big religious leaders and all of them, they seen these dumb fishermen. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. But they had this knowledge that they had to perceive that they'd been with who? Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. The people will know you've been with Jesus when you're not all anxious. And you know what's going on. They say, well, Jesus done told them. That's exactly right. It's in his word for all to see.
Yeah, all you have to do is open the book and look.
Yes, and get on your knees. That's what I did, like Solomon. He didn't ask for riches, silver, or gold. He asked for wisdom. And God was so pleased. And that's what I did. I said, well, Solomon did that. I'm going to do that. And it worked. Even for dummies. Praise God. It really does. I didn't go to seminary.
Wisdom for Dummies. It sounds like a book. Wisdom for Dummies.
Yes. That's exactly right. God will give it to you. James 1:5. He'll give it to you. You just believe what you ask for and do not doubt. Don't be double-minded. and watch what starts happening. Your eyes will come open, and you'll understand that word like never before, and people will think you've been in some type of seminary. That's the first place he told me not to go. Isn't that amazing? I'm not saying their histories are bad or what they teach in there about the certain things about the Bible are bad, but a lot of them are not good. There's even professors that's teaching in seminaries that don't believe in Jesus. That ought to tell you something. But you can get right on your knees, and God Almighty will teach you. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's in 1 John chapter 2, I think verse 20. We have an unction from the Holy One who will teach you all things. You have no need to learn from man. That's exactly what he says. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. I love the way he opens up the word when you ask him. You know, it's just awesome.
Yes.
Don't you think, Rod?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Roz again? My goodness, she's got to stop moving around when she talks. I think
Roz,
there's a 2-inch square area where she lives where she gets a good signal.
She done got raptured. She's gone. Didn't she just get married?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Praise the Lord. Yep. But
and it looks like she's got a good one this time.
Well, I wasn't going to say that on the radio, but yeah. But since you're close to her, you can get away with that.
Oh, I'll probably catch it when she comes back if she hears it. But
catch what?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Nothing. I didn't say nothing.
We've been getting
what?
In your business.
Getting in my business?
I just said it looks like you got a good one this time.
What do you mean?
We were congratulating you.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very much. Thank you.
And that's
it's just
beautiful.
Amazing how often we don't marry the right one the first time around.
Yeah, that's true. It can be tough sometimes. Me and mine have been together 25 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been a roller coaster, I put it that way. But God has held us together, and it's only been by His hand.
I've seen pictures of you from the 80s. Very interesting.
Not like a mafia guy. I had my Elvis dude with a mustache.
You had a mullet.
Hey man, you know you can't knock it. That was a style back then.
Well, I had big hair too.
I know. I often go back and say, Lord, I bet you was laughing back then. You had to be laughing at me. Because I'm
think
laughing
he
at myself
at us a lot.
I think so too.
He's probably like, this boy has no idea what his future holds. And look at this knucklehead acting like a crazy heathen. He has no idea. I'm going to use him one day. Oh, yeah, I was just dumb. I'm telling you, I tried to do everything like the movies. I watched movies and I tried to copy them. I'm going to be like Goodfellas. That looks fancy. I'm going to be like one of them monsters, boy. I just don't want to kill nobody. I want that money and them nice suits and all that. There's people going into the ministry for that stuff now. They don't go into the mafia. They just go into ministry and say, I'm going to be like Robert Tilton.
There you go.
And I'm like, no, that's not it, y'all. I'm telling you. Jesus said
ministry,
the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Mm-mm.
And he told those people that wanted to follow him that. He says, all right, now foxes have holes. Birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You sure you won't follow me? Oh, yes, Jesus. Praise God. His anointing, his love, you feel. You got to follow him. What else are you going to do? It's awesome.
I know. Where else are you going to go for the truth?
That's what Peter said. I know it. It's his love that draws. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That's what made
acceptance.
Me start crying. Yeah.
It's acceptance. Because you've gone through all that and the world. And you've been in it. And, you know, it's just like he's standing there knocking. And he's like, I love you for who you are. You know, all I want is you to love me. And
to make me, you know, make your life and you do that. And I mean, really, you know, it's when no one accepts you, he does.
Exactly. It's amazing. And it don't matter what you've done, what you've been in. Matter of fact, he's taking people right now out of the highways and byways and the hedges, and he's pulling them out of ditches, out of addictions, and out of drugs, or out of all kind of stuff in the world. And he's pulling them out, and he's anointing them. He's washing them clean. And these religious leaders are going to trip out, the ones that's already been bewitched already. They've been in this system, and they're going to be just like the Pharisees. And just like the Pharisees, the religious group back then are the ones that handed Jesus over to be crucified. They're going to do the same thing. So he's pulling people like fishermen, like the apostles, right now off the street. And it's going to amaze people what Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he put on my heart. That I'm going to use you and put all this because you were not. You were bad. And I'm going to show my blood cleanses by faith. That my blood cleanses. Because many preachers get up there and say, I've never smoked, drank, chewed, or hung with those who do. And that's pride.
And never
pride.
Inhaled.
Right, that's pride. That is what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. It wasn't the drinking and smoking. And I know that stuff's bad. The Lord cleanse you of it. He'll break you free, praise God, and give you victory over all of it. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is the pride in our hearts. People don't see that. They look at the outer things and say, oh, look at how bad so-and-so is. Man, look how bad you are for gossiping. You know, it's the inner. I call it the porcupine and the skunk. You got the porcupine, which offends everybody because you can't get next to him without getting poked, scratched, or, you know, them needles hit you. And you're like, get away from that. That's like someone who's smoking, drinking, on drugs. They get on your nerves. There may be a crackhead asking for $10, $20 every time you see them. You know, those sins get on your nerve, and you talk about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the skunk. The skunk is beautiful. Looks like you just want to pet the thing. It's so like a cat. Look how pretty the colors are on that skunk. But, boy, on the inside, ooh, it's rotten. You got people wearing three-piece suits in the church on the inside, got a heart rotten. And when they let one go, oh, my goodness, when one of them sins come out of the innards, oh, it's horrible. It stinks up the whole block.
Yes.
And the porcupine's still there. But we get offended at the porcupine.
Mm-hmm.
That's just some of that Princeton humor there. That's a good sermon, though.
Well,
that
yeah.
is a good sermon.
Jesus showed me that one.
That's excellent.
Boy, I've seen it. When bitterness enters in the heart and unforgiveness gets in that heart, boy, and I'm telling you, it comes out. It comes out in language. It comes out when they're talking about somebody, whatever, us, me too, all of us. It's bad because it comes out of the inner spirit. But the other ones are outer sins. Those are easily broke off compared to the inner spirit. That's why Jesus said, you Pharisees, y'all worried about the outside. Clean the inside of the cup, and the outside will be made.
Well, see, people are so used to hearing, oh, you're a good person, you know, but they don't see what's on the inside. Now, if we all saw what was in ourselves and other people, man, I bet you go get some Mr. Clean and clean that right up quick. I mean, really, because that's yucky in there. And like you were saying, you know, they don't go out and, man, I have said so many things on my radio show that I've done, and even like recently, just the anger and the hurt that I've experienced through this, gone through the divorce. It was horrible, and I struggled. I mean, I was struggling. I didn't even know if I was going to get back on air. It was just, I was struggling. I just wanted to put my fist right down his throat.
Yeah, I know.
And
I've been
and
there.
It was just, yeah,
not
and it's just, no.
but other situations, we've all been there.
Right, and it's a struggle because your flesh, there's this tug of war going on, and you're asking the Lord to help you, and your flesh is pulling you in one direction, and you're going in another, and then there's this war going on inside you, and I never experienced anything like that I mean, you know, as an adult, it's just the tearing and ripping and tearing and ripping and just ugly words, you know, just coming out because you're so upset and you're angry and you don't know what to do and, you know, and you feel like you just can't get through to anybody. And, you know, and I just kept pleading, you know, and asking Father, just please help me. I need your knowledge. I need your wisdom, you know. Please just help me because I really need to get through this, man. I just feel like I mean, to be honest with you, I just feel like you just took a good dump. I mean, I don't feel that heavy anymore. You know, I've moved on.
Well, divorce is such an intimate betrayal. It's hard for anybody to deal with, and I don't know how people without the Lord deal with it. Think everything's going to go fine. You're all, you know, nice about the split up, and then all of a sudden, the stuff starts flying, and it hurts. It really hurts.
And spiritually, when the Bible says you become one, I really don't think we understand the depth of that concept of spiritual principle there. It's deep. You've really connected yourself with another spirit. You've become one. The two become one, not only physically in relation, but I'm talking about spiritually. So when divorce takes place, you're ripped apart from that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. And it's like a death that takes place spiritually. It hurts. Then you feel betrayed and all these different emotions come forth. That's why it's so dangerous for us in high school and these children out here these days to connect themselves and run around and have relations with different people because they're connecting with whatever spirit is in that person also. That's what the Bible's talking about, and it makes a big difference in your emotional realm, your soul. Now, I ain't gone too deep, hadn't I? But it's true, and it hurts. And, you know, all those feelings, I call unforgiveness and that bitterness that Satan tries to put in, but God gives more grace to his people. But Satan tries to put it in like a hand grenade because it goes off and it tries to take us out. Like Hebrews says, Hebrews 12 says, be careful, don't let the root of bitterness spring up and defile the whole person. And Satan knows that word. So he's going to bring somebody in your path to offend you, you know, and hurt you real bad. Someone you love or used to love, you know, deeply, and you go through all this struggle. But thank Jesus Christ, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit shows up and he starts putting that balm of Gilead on that wound and starts giving you more grace. Amen. I better let y'all talk.
Oh, we're down to 12 minutes, Roz.
Yep. Uh-oh, we lost Roz again.
Did we lose her again? Oh, goodness. All right, 12 minutes.
Yes. Is there any questions on the...
What do you have for the listeners as a summary of everything we've discussed? And what would you say the most important thing for them to know right now is?
The most important thing to know, I would say, again, as Roz opened up with Psalms 91, I'm going to read it for the last 12 minutes. And it all stands on that you have known his name, that you received God through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that's where you abide in the secret place. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold this and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There's a good word. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion, the otter, and the lion, and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. That's our psalm.
That is a good Psalm 91.
No fear, no anxiety. Because Jesus is your home, your habitation. That's what I want everybody to know in the name of Jesus. We got Roz back.
I
yes,
love Psalm
we have Roz back.
I really like that a lot.
And it just breaks down all the religious atmosphere of legalism. It's because you love him and you've known his name, which he gave us through Jesus, Yahshua.
Mm-hmm.
You know his name. It's because you love him and you've believed upon his word. That's it. It's by faith. The just shall live by what? Faith. That's what's going to hold you. It won't be a bomb shelter. It won't be no silos with rice or grain.
No gold, no silver.
Nope. Zephaniah says their gold or silver will not save them. It's Zephaniah. Their gold and silver will not save them. It is going to be Jesus Christ that supernaturally protects us in the future. Even with the pestilence, the cancers, and all these things and diseases, he still heals, seals, and delivers. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Don't let any denominational leader tell you that Jesus does not heal anymore. I promise you, I've seen it with my own eyes. He's the one, and he's about to pour out the latter rain. Praise God. I'm getting excited.
That is exciting.
You mind if I
take we're down to 8 minutes.
Wow.
I know, it went by like lickety-split.
Yeah, I know. It's like, for crying out loud already.
Well,
unless you want to go into the archives. You know, we got that hour in the archives. If you want to do that, it's up to you.
Well, no, I know Daryl has to get up for work in the morning. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a long time since, you know, I've been able to talk to you and get you on here and, you know, I really enjoy you coming on and, you know, giving us some of your time, and I sure appreciate that.
Anytime. Anytime. I'll come back on the show, so you just let me know. Me and Shane can come. You just love Shane's accent. Oh, he's got one of them country accents. You think mine's bad?
I don't think yours is bad. It's just that...
just wait. See, get my partner on here. Shane DeVille. Oh, yeah, he's something. He'll give you his testimony. He'll make you laugh. But he's been through some stuff, too.
Yeah,
the Lord's raising his people
up.
He's raising an army against darkness, a spiritual army, not a physical, a spiritual, where our weapons are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit gives us strength, not physical. But there's a spiritual army arising right now, and they'll be bold and strong in the Lord.
That spiritual is stronger than the physical.
Amen.
Way
that's what
stronger.
Sustains us. That's exactly right. That's where the healing comes from. If you got a body that's falling apart, down to nothing, eat up with cancer, you receive by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to your spirit, and your spirit's strengthened through the power of God, through what Jesus paid for at the cross, then healing takes place in the physical body. That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's no man spitting on you. Or send you, you know, some $59.95 handkerchief over there. In the mail.
I don't know. Go ahead.
It's Jesus and what he paid for. Isaiah 53:4-5 says the chastisement of our peace was upon him, so we should have peace through the Spirit. And by his stripes,
yes,
all we heal.
Mm-hmm.
Not only save, but we can draw praise God, some power through what he paid for healing. Man, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. I done got all fired up. I feel revival coming.
Man, that's going to be interesting. I just keep seeing like a band of people just, you know how like in the old armies they would put their worshipers in the front and they would sing.
Yes.
And I'm not saying all the time that they would win, but man, they had more undefeated than defeated, that's for sure.
And, his Shekinah glory showed up.
Yeah, and it's just the man, and I just feel like a lot of, you know, some of the dreams that I have, I'm singing and they're defeating these demons that are going in and out of people. They're blowing up. They blow up.
Yep.
Because I sing, and it's just like, man, singing is so powerful. When you're praising him, it is just amazing.
Amen. That's true. When it comes out of a pure heart,
mm-hmm.
there's power in that.
You're doing warfare, man. When you're praising him and you're singing, you're doing warfare.
I've seen a man come out of a coma. We prayed and laid hands on him. He didn't move. His tongue was hanging out. But we almost left. Turned around, and I started singing Amazing Grace. Me and Shane was there singing Amazing Grace to him. It might have been our bad singing, but something. He come out of that coma and started singing with us. And he went home a few days later.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing.
Awesome.
We tried everything. We held our mouth. We speaking in tongues. We was praying and nothing happened. I'm like, oh, we about to leave. And the Holy Spirit said, go sing to him one more time. And I said, what's singing going to do? I said, okay, brother. And we started singing. And this man's tongue went back into his mouth. And he come up and singing with us, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I said, well, praise God. That's... That's amazing. So you're right.
Yeah,
if it comes out of your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think how great thou art.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
I'm about to come back on.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You're going to have to come back on the program again soon.
Oh, absolutely. The people in the chat room are saying they want you back, too.
Well, I appreciate that. It's nice to be wanted.
The bug man preacher.
Yes, the bug man preacher spraying and praying, reaching, teaching. Amen.
Well, would you like to close out in prayer with us tonight?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus we come before you, the name above all names, that at that name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection about the body of Christ, around every single one of us, dear Lord, to put their trust in you. Help us, dear Lord, to see by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, dear Lord, in the days we are in. Lord, we know that you're going to anoint your body to be able to walk through anything, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to walk through the fire, that you will be with us. And as fire was turned up seven times hotter, it doesn't matter how hot it gets, in the spiritual, we will be with you, and you will be with us, and we'll have your anointing with us. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you give peace to those who are in fear. Dear Lord, that you ease the hearts and show them your power and your Shekinah glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I got chill bones. Praise God.
All right, everyone. Thank you. I'm sorry. Is that Dorothy? Go ahead.
God bless y'all.
Oh, no, I was going to, if everybody's finished, I was going to just close out the show.
Okay. Y'all be blessed.
All right, well, you too, Daryl. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming and listening to the show tonight. Get back into the archives and listen to the show again if you can. Daryl's really awesome to listen to, and he's a really good guy, and you know, I enjoy having Dorothy on the show, and I thank her for all she does and supporting the show, and I just want to say God bless you all, and please be on your knees praying. Pray for these young kids that are being abducted right now, left and right, and they're being killed.
down there in Mexico. It's just, and it's coming up into California now. So please remember the girls that were abducted from the university over there in Baja, California. Like I said, two of them, they found the bodies of the two. I don't know. I haven't gotten any recent info on the others. But please pray for the families who are losing these poor babies. And this evil spirit that's driven to just thirst, this thing's thirsting for blood all over the world, not just here, but everywhere. You know, we got to stand up. We just can't sit down and just do nothing. So I thank you everybody for listening, and check out our website. We should be back on the air again next week. Dorothy and I might do a 30-minute show just to let you guys know what upcoming events are, upcoming shows. Just stay tuned for that, and we will let you know what's going on. Father bless, and have a great night, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
Father bless, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Father bless. Good night.
Hey, Roz. Are you still there?
Nope, she left. You might give her a call. I can't get my mouse to move.